Great, we'll turn back to Psalm 42, but I'm just going to read the first bit of Psalm 43. It's only a pretty tiny psalm, and you'll see why in just a minute. So Psalm 43. Vindicate me, O God, and plead my cause against an ungodly nation. O deliver me from the deceitful and unjust man. For you are the God of my strength. Why do you cast me off? Why do I go mourning because of the oppression of the enemy? O send out your light and your truth. Let them lead me. Let them bring me to your holy hill and to your tabernacle. Then I will go to the altar of God, to my God, my exceeding joy. And on the harp I will praise you, O God, my God. Why are you cast down, O my soul? And why are you disquieted within me? Hope in God, for I shall yet praise him, the help of my countenance and my God. We're going to look this morning at these two psalms, which seem to clearly go together, don't they? And whether it was a little bit, if you're thinking sort of musical terms, of someone writing a song and then adding an extra verse later on, as sometimes happens in our hymn books and things like that, well, we don't quite know how it, the book of Psalms is arranged either, you see, but there's a repeating chorus through these two psalms, isn't there? It happens in verse 5, why are you cast down, O my soul? Why are you disquieted within me? That's Psalm 42, verse 5. And then it says it again in verse 11. And then in Psalm 43, again in verse 5, it has the same chorus. So it's almost like a verse, chorus, verse, chorus, and then another one added on in Psalm 43. It's a little bit of a strange chorus as well, isn't it? It's a bit of an unusual theme, perhaps. An unusual tone in a song. Why are you cast down, O my soul? Why are you disquieted within me? Hope in God, for I shall yet praise him for the help of his countenance. So we're going to look today at this psalm. And the wonderful thing about the book of Psalms is, it's a bit like a box of chocolates. You never quite know what you're going to get, unless you know your psalms very well. You could just pick a psalm and you don't quite know what kind of psalm it's going to be. These are these words that are inspired by the Holy Spirit. They're words given by God, but they're also words addressed to God, aren't they? This is God's people speaking to God with their prayers, with their songs. And they touch on the reality of human life, don't they? And that's the great thing about the book of Psalms. And it touches on all sorts of aspects of our life. And the one today in these two psalms is about being downcast. Now, maybe that fits with where you're at this morning. I don't know, maybe in God's providence you're feeling very downcast this morning and have come here right, just the right time to hear a psalm that's just about that. Maybe. If not, just put it there in your mind. Because you're bound to be downcast sooner or later, aren't you? Maybe not today. Maybe you're feeling great today. That's lovely. But maybe when work's going tough this week, or when you get a letter through the post and suddenly you're feeling downcast again, whatever it might be, keep this psalm in mind and the things God teaches us, because I guarantee it will come in handy sometime, won't it? So here's this psalm that I've called, if you want to title, A Song in the Night. A Song in the Night. And he keeps asking this question, why are you cast down, O my soul? Three times he asks the question. So we're going to think of the thing. Why do our souls get downcast? Why does it happen? Now, it can be, firstly then, external things, external situations that plunge us down into despair or disillusionment or whatever it might be. Just flick through some of the things we can see going on here. The psalm writer obviously has a few difficulties that are getting him down. In Psalm 43, verse 1, he talks about the ungodly nation and the deceitful and unjust men who are around him. So we could say that the psalmist perhaps has enemies. There are people around him, maybe foreigners, who don't share the true religion, the true faith in the Lord Jesus, in God. And so he has enemies round him. And they're being unjust, they're being deceitful, they're being oppressive, they're being hurtful, hateful, unkind. In Psalm 42 and verse 9, he then says, Why do I go, right at the end of that verse, why do I go mourning? Because of the oppression of the enemy. He echoes that again in Psalm 43 in the end of verse 2. Why do I go mourning? Because of the oppression of the enemy. So the psalmist is feeling downcast because there are people against him. Whether that's violent attack, whether that's verbal attack, we don't know exactly. But he's being oppressed, he's being weighed down by them. So that's one thing, is getting the psalmist down. Second thing, there's some sort of distressing situation. In Psalm 42, verse 3, he says, "My tears have been my food day and night." So he's crying about something. He's weeping. There's something that's distressing him day and night. And he cries. Whether it's a bereavement, whether it's an anxiety of one thought, we don't know. He doesn't say what it is that's making him cry, but there's something that's horrible for him to deal with. In Psalm 42 and verse 6, he has this picture of a flash flood. There was some a while back in Germany and Belgium, weren't there? But actually, in places where it's very dry, these flash floods can be even more intense. So in verse 6, he says, "I will remember you from the land of the Jordan," the river, "from the heights of Hermon, from the hill Mizar. Deep calls unto deep at the noise of your waterfalls. All your waves and billows have gone over me." This was pictures life up in the mountains, above the River Jordan, where the River Jordan had its source. And there'd be a sudden downpour. And these quiet little dry creeks would suddenly become raging torrents of waterfalls. And he felt that he was just swept away in one of those. Now, he's using that as sort of a metaphor, isn't he? I don't think he literally was feeling swamped in water. But he was feeling that something was just overwhelming him. Strangely, Jonah actually quotes those words in his book, Jonah chapter 2, verse 3. When Jonah is thrown into the water and he's then swallowed by the great fish, he prays and quotes these words, "All your breakers and waves have gone over me." Now, it did happen literally for him, but for many of us it will be a metaphor more. For how one thing in life just buffets over us like the waves and we just feel that we're drowning, swamped under one problem after another. Whether it's unemployment, or financial worries, or bereavement, or health concerns, or whatever it might be, sometimes we just feel that we just can't hardly gasp and keep our heads above the water. But we're just getting swamped with one thing after another. So there's some distressing situation. And a third thing that's getting him down is that he feels far away from God. This question keeps coming up, where is your God? Psalm 42, verse 3. And so he feels far away from God. Now, we could apply that in two ways. Of course, for somebody who's not a Christian, our souls being downcast may well be something that God is doing to show us that we're without him. And if we're without God, we are without hope. And so maybe there's some for who that is the case. That they're feeling downcast and feeling that everything's getting on top of them. And maybe God's using those things to drive you to him. A little bit like that man in the story of C.T. Studd who's having this nightmare about a road that's on fire. That must have been a horrible dream to have night after night, mustn't it? But it was God showing him his need of salvation. And God's the one who lifts up the downcast in Psalm 3, verse 3. The psalmist says, "But you, O Lord, are a shield for me, my glory, and the one who lifts up my head. I cried to the Lord with my voice, and he heard me." If we're downcast and we do not know God, then we cry out to him. God is the one, the only one who can lift up our heads and hear us and give us hope. That can only come from being saved. From finding that forgiveness through the Lord Jesus Christ. But for the psalmist here, he is a believer. And yet, for some reason, he can't participate in public worship. Psalm 42, verse 4, I remember these things when I used to go with the multitude to the house of God with the voice of joy and praise and the multitude that kept a pilgrim feast. For some reason, he could just remember it. He couldn't do it. He couldn't go with the multitude to God's house. In Psalm 43 and verse 3, he prays, let them bring me to your holy hill, to your tabernacle. He looks forward to when he'll go to God's house, to the altar of God with exceeding joy. But for some reason, he can't do it now. There's something, some situation that's preventing him participating in the public community life of God's people. We don't know what that is. It might be he's far away. He mentioned in Psalm 43 verse 1 that he's with an ungodly nation. So maybe he's away from God's people. And maybe he's surrounded by people who don't worship the true God. And so he doesn't have those things. We'd call them the means of grace. Meeting together, enjoying fellowship, meeting together to worship God together, singing and so on, hearing God's word, praying together. We call those the means of grace. They're the way that God blesses us and God does us good in our hearts in 101 different ways through those things. And the psalmist felt he was missing out on all those things for some reason. And it was getting him down. I wonder if we ever feel like that. There can sometimes be a spiritual side to feeling downcast. And perhaps it is, for one reason or another, we're not getting fully involved with God's people and God's church. Maybe that's one reason sometimes we do. And perhaps sometimes when it's forced upon us, do we feel the pressure of that? Maybe if you have to take a business trip and you're away somewhere and you can't get to church. Or like we've endured over this last year of the COVID restrictions and things like that. Have you sometimes felt, oh, like this psalm, I remember when I used to go and worship God with joy, with the great multitude, and I miss it. Maybe when we're unwell. Maybe when we're forced to stay at home for a bit, you get pinged on your phone to say you've got to isolate and the rest. No. Do we miss out? Do we know what it means? Does sometimes it hurt us when we can't be with God's people? I think, actually, I'm really getting down without the help of being with God's people and being part of that community of God's church. So there's external things. Secondly, then, there's an internal struggle as well. It's not just things that are getting the psalmist down. His question, he keeps coming back to, verse 5. Why are you cast down, O my soul? Then he asks another question. Why are you disquieted within me? That's a weird word, isn't it? Disquieted. I'm sure we use it in many other ways. It actually is a rough translation of an even weirder word, tumultuated. But the word behind it is this idea of being just tossed by waves. My soul is just feeling thrashed around. Now, you see the pictures when a storm's coming or something like that, and you see all the flotsam and jetsam just throwing around in the water. And somebody says, I feel like that. Just tossed here and there, thrashed around by all these waves, buffeted by things. Think of a ship at sea, a ship that's made with a big, strong hull. And normally a ship can withstand an awful lot of buffeting. The ship is likely to most be in trouble when there's a problem on the inside. Ships can endure an awful lot of storms, but if the cargo starts to move inside, then they're in trouble. And so it is with us. Sometimes we can endure a lot of things from outside. But actually when we feel like on the inside our cargo is shifting, then we're in trouble. Think of that picture, our ships on the sea. And so this seems to be sort of getting there in his mind. Look in Psalm 42 and verse 7. Deep calls to deep at the noise of your waterfalls. Your waves and billows have gone over me. God has allowed this situation to happen. God has caused these things to happen. And he prays about these things. And there's no quick answer. God does not jump in and solve the situation. And perhaps there's something there just chipping away a little bit at his faith. that God has done these things. It's your ways and your breakers, and you're not fixing it. And then, as we said already, there's the enemies, and they sow their doubts in his mind. Psalm 42, verse 10, they say to me all day long, where is your God? He's taunted. It's there in verse 3 again. And these enemies are there chipping away at his faith. It can be like that for us, can't it? We can endure insults in our workplaces, in our schools. People can laugh at us for being Christians. And sometimes we can sort of brush it off. And sometimes it just nags away at us, doesn't it? And that sort of just niggles their insults. They just grow a bit, don't they? There's only so many times someone can say to you, where's your God? He's left you. He's abandoned you. He doesn't care less. And you say, oh no, it's rubbish. I'm not listening to that. But we do listen to that, don't we? It goes in and it troubles us. And perhaps those doubts then seem to grow. And so Psalm 42 verse 9, I say to my God, my rock, why have you forgotten me? They said it before. Now he's kind of saying the same thing, isn't he? It's just that doubt that's growing there in his mind. Psalm 43 verse 2, why have you cast me off? And that's of course what Satan loves to do. To distance us from God, to divide us, to make us afraid that he's forgotten us, that he doesn't listen to us anymore. And those doubts grow, and that's what the devil wants to do, isn't it? In Psalm 42 verse 3, he talks about my tears have been my food day and night. Maybe there's a sense as well, you could read those words, in that he's feeding on them. You know when something's getting you down and you can't let it go? And it keeps coming back and back and back, and morning and night, we keep thinking about the same thing. And it grows and grows in its size in our minds as we dwell on it. And even when I remember the good things, Psalm 42 verse 6, I pour out my soul with more tears. Even the good things, happy memories, actually turn around to be a reason for more sadness. And on it goes. And so here in this psalm, we see someone who is tossed about. And Psalm 42 and 43, you can see almost that movement, can't you, in it? The psalmist fluctuates between moments of real crystal clear faith and then moments of gloomy despair. And he sort of fluctuates between those things. But that's why you've got to love God's word, isn't it? Because it's real. We don't just have these glib little psalms in the middle of our Bible that are full of nice little ditties and superficial stuff. But the psalms are there with the song of the night, as he calls it in verse 8. In the Lord will command his loving kindness in the daytime, and in the night his song will be with me. And this is it, I think. This is the song that's there in the night, when everything seems pretty dark. And so God's word is full of that realism that can speak to us and help us in our lives too. So we've thought about the first question, why do our souls get downcast? Second question then, to finish off, how do you deal with it? Dealing with the downcast soul. What can we notice here that the psalmist does to help with that? We're all guaranteed to face it at some point in our life, probably some point in the next few months. We'll feel downcast about something. How can this psalm help us and point us to God? Well, the first thing he does is question ourselves. He questions himself, and we need to question ourselves. Why are you downcast, O my soul? Why are you disquieted within me? Sometimes we can just go with the blanket statement. I feel cast down. I feel disquieted. But actually the psalmist asks a question about it. He questions himself. He challenges himself. Sometimes we can perhaps have that sort of mentality of, look, this is the way I feel, and there's nothing I can do or anyone else can do about it. Just sort of have that acceptance. Now, he had reasons to be downcast. We've looked at those already. But he challenges himself at the same time. Sometimes we can think of all the discouragements that make us downcast. And that may make sense. But why are you downcast, oh my soul, he asks. Maybe this idea, you know, are there any encouragements that can challenge that? Sometimes we get fixated on one thing, don't we? Was that the only thing going on in his life? Sure, he had reasons that life was difficult at the minute. But was it an appropriate way to carry on feeling and behaving? Were there ways that he could deal with it? Were there ways he could help the way he felt and thought? He doesn't just sit down and mope and say, I am downcast. He challenges himself. Why are you downcast, O my soul? He questions it, challenges it, and then we'll see what he does next. He desires God. He desires God. He doesn't give up. And so the psalm begins, Psalm 42, as the deer pants for the water brooks, so my soul pants for you, O God. And there's something quite big in that, isn't there? There is a song, As the Deer Pants for the Water, that some of us might know. It's not in our hymn book, and we still haven't got any projecting ability at the minute, so I was thinking about singing it. But actually, there's something strange about that song. It's almost too beautiful, isn't it? You know the one I'm thinking of? I won't give a solo for you. But, you know, the song, and but actually, I think the image is a bit harsher than that. As the deer pants for the water brooks. It's perhaps not a beautiful little song. And this little deer skipping through the forest, thinking, where's some water, like Bambi or something like that. But this deer is sort of heaving away. as the deer is running along, chased by some enemy or something, and it's panting for water. There's this raking sort of breath, that dry lips. It's not a beautiful little skipping song. It's a harsh thing that's going on. And that's how he feels. I'm panting for God. So my soul thirsts for God. In a dry land, I'm thirsting for God. All these things that were going on that we've looked at already, he doesn't give up. The enemies who were making him afraid, the obstacles he had to get into public worship, the problems that he faced that God hadn't answered, and the nagging doubts that kept coming into his mind, the psalmist won't give up. I desire God. Verse 2, when shall I come and appear before God? You could translate that, when shall I come and see your face? He wanted to see God. So he doesn't give up. Even though life's bleak and even his spiritual life is a bit bleak at the moment, he has that desire for God to see his face again. And so the desire is there. Even if it was a mess at the moment and his spiritual life is a bit of a jumble, but that desire for God, that gives him a forward focus, doesn't it? He's no longer dwelling so much on the mess he's in, but a desire, I want to see God's face. Another way he responds is by remembering. Look in verse 5 and 6. Why are you cast down, O my soul? Carry on then verse 6. O my God, my soul is downcast within me. Therefore I will remember you. That's some good logic there, isn't it? He concludes verse 6. I am thoroughly downcast. So I'm going to remember you. Is how he responds. I'm going to remember God. I feel forgotten by God. He mentions that a couple of times, doesn't he? But what I'm going to do is I'm going to remember. I'm going to remember the good times in the past. Verse 4, when I had joy and praise and went to God's house. I remember that. I remember God's promises. Verse 8, the Lord will command his loving kindness in the daytime. Tomorrow, when day dawns, I know that God will be loving and kind with me. I remember. I remember him. And I'm feeling downcast now, and this is a song in the night that I'm singing, but I know in the morning I'll be able to say, great is your faithfulness. Morning by morning, new mercies I see. I know it. I remember God. He keeps anchored to that truth, even if everything seems in complete turmoil around him. He prays to God. Verse 8, the Lord will command his loving kindness in the daytime. In the night, a song shall be with me, a prayer to the God of my life. And that's what the whole psalm is, isn't it? There's a couple of verses where he's talking to himself. Verse 5, 11, and then verse 5 in Psalm 43. But the rest of the time, he's talking to God. And the psalm is full of me, my God. I am talking to him. I'm talking to you, God. It's personal. Keeps talking to God. So even if he feels distant from him, he keeps praying. He keeps crying out to God. And there's some of his requests in Psalm 43, verse 1, vindicate me, O God. Verse 3, send out your light and your truth and let them lead me. That's his prayer. He feels in the dark. He feels in the night. He feels far away. And he prays, send light. Send truth into my dark, depressive situation I'm in the minute. Lead me. The picture, of course, is probably from the Exodus, isn't it? The fiery pillar by night, leading the Israelites out of their slavery, out of Egypt. And he waits for God to do the same thing, prays for God to help him and lead him through the darkness he's going through. And lastly, he hopes in God. It's the phrase that keeps coming up, doesn't it? Every time he has this very strange chorus, Psalm 42, verse 3, why are you downcast, O my soul? Why are you disquieted within me? Hope in God, for I shall yet praise him. And he tells himself this three times. Hope in God. And that's what he does. We see here, even in this psalm, this song of the night, that he has confidence. Even if it is sometimes a muddled confidence. So verse 9, I say to God, my rock, why have you forgotten me? There's hope and confidence at the same time as doubt. And of course, those things don't exactly match. How can you be forgotten by God who is the rock, who doesn't change? And again in Psalm 43 verse 2, you are the God of my strength, so why do you cast me off? He's got his confidence and his fears, all in a muddle. But he hopes in God. He knows it is true. You are my rock. You are my strength. And so he talks to himself with his song in the night that he will hope in God. Even when the situation seemed dark and dire, he says, in the morning I'll see your loving kindness. And he had that hope for the future. I'm going to praise God. I will praise him. I know he will help me. And so he looked forward to Psalm 43, verse 4. I will go to the altar of God. I will go to my God with exceeding joy. On the harp I'll praise you, O God, my God. There's this song in the night. But he keeps coming back to that hope he has that the night won't endure forever. And in the morning, light will come and kindness from God. And he hopes and looks forward to the day when his relationship with God will be restored from the muddle it is at the moment. And his spiritual life will be back, thriving again. Hope in God, for I shall yet praise him for the help of his countenance. Let's pray to finish. Dear Lord God, we do thank you for your word. We thank you for these real psalms. And we pray for anyone who's here this morning who's feeling downcast, who has situations that are just getting on top of them, and perhaps internally everything seems a mess too. Lord, help them. Help each of us in the ups and downs of life, because we're bound to feel this way before too long. Lord, help us to remember this psalm and turn to it to find comfort and help. Help us to look to God. Help us to desire more of you. Help us to remember the truth that we know about you. Help us to pray and to keep talking to you even if we feel a bit far away. Help us to hope. that even if we are enduring a night of sorrow and days are dark at the minute, that we would look to you full of hope, eager to praise you and to find that joy again in you. So bless us, we pray, in our different situations. Lord, speak to our hearts, we pray, for we ask in Jesus' name. Amen. Let's sing our last hymn. It's going to be number 770, 770, a hymn that reminds us to look to the Lord through the ups and downs of life. Number 770, All the Way My Saviour Leads Me, What Have I to Ask Beside? 770.